Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 80 of our year of the Bible, and one of those days, one of the few days where we'll do one book, one day, and that book is the four-chapter book of Ruth. I mentioned yesterday, and I just want to say again today, Ruth is, some people say on purpose, a bridge between Samuel and Judges. Judges, bad. Lots of bad things going on, and there'll be some more craziness in Samuel, but it's almost like the writer slash editor slash collator slash whatever wanted you to see. So look, even while this craziness is going on, God is still at work doing stuff and doing stuff, doing better stuff than we can either ask or imagine. Because of the surprise ending. And I'll just say briefly, the surprise ending that you only get in like the last two verses is, of course, that this Ruth is the grandmother of King David, which is a big deal. The grandmother of King David. A couple of things I just want to point out. She's a Moabite. Now remember, Moabites, Israelites, not friends. The Moabites were bad to were bad to the Israelites when they were traveling through. Remember Balaam and all that kind of business. So Moabites are good. They went to Moab. Naomi and her husband, Elimelech. They went there because there was a famine in Israel. Their sons married Moabite women, usually a thing that is a big no-no, and maybe it was a big no-no. And they were there for 10 years, and the sons never had children, apparently. So two sons, those two sons never had children. So when they go back, when they die, when the husband and the two sons die, and it's Naomi and Ruth and Orpah sort of left there, and they head back to Bethlehem, they're in a bad spot. They're in a very bad spot. And Naomi, so that's another thing I want to point out, that Naomi feels as abandoned by God, right, and as bad off as you can be. And she says so. She's as bad as she can be. She is a widow with no children to take care of her. She has seen her husband die. She has seen two of her sons die. Again, with no grandchildren. And this is very bad. Ruth goes with her. Now, one of the things I want to put, so one of the quick things that I want to say is that God is at work, right? God's providence is at work. God has a plan for Ruth, you know, for King David, right? Like for King David to be, you know, and then Jesus, the son of David, and he's gonna do it through this, you know, bad thing that happened to Naomi, which is not to say that God caused Naomi's husband and children to die and for her to be barren. It's not to say that. It is to say that, you know, God had a plan that was going to come to fruition one way or the other. And it's a plan, the ending of which is better than they could have imagined. So in the dark times, don't forget that God is doing something. And when Ruth is taking place, the book of Ruth is taking place, there are dark times in their lives. There are also dark times in Israel, and there's the famine, right? Like it's a three strikes, you're out. Like it's bad. Famine, the famine's ending at the end. Husband die, children die, sons die, no descendants. All things bad. They're going back. Who are they going to do? It sounds like there's a debt that Elimelech has land, has an allotment out in Judah, but it sounds like he owes money on it, and that's why you have the redeemer, the kinsman redeemer thing. So, you know, God is at work doing things that that we don't know. God will bring great things out of bad situations, even when we can't imagine. Again, more than we can ask or imagine. Last thing I want to say, because somebody brought this to my attention, I thought it was very cool. There are two people in the story that are unnamed that don't do anything, that decide, you know, not to participate in the plan, and they're not like morally censored for it. Like they, so one is Orpah is named. Orpah, Ruth's sister, decides, no, I don't want to go to Bethlehem, right? I don't want to. And it's presented as, look, it, you know, it makes sense. It's fine. It's fine. She decided that the risk wasn't worth it. The other one was the closer kinsman redeemer, not Boaz, who gets the first decision. And again, and himself decides, you know, this isn't, it's too big of a risk. It doesn't look like I'm going to come out ahead. He's not named. Again, it's not presented like a bad thing. It just is what it is. But Boaz, you know, Boaz does the right thing. Boaz, you know, he comes through. He's a gentleman, right? From the beginning, in different ways. Ruth does something. You know, has this loyalty to her mother-in-law that she's not required to have, but she does. It's like an exceptional righteousness, and because of it, this great blessing comes. Comes to pass. So that's beautiful. But what I want to say, you know, in dark times, great things can happen, and they can happen by, you know, righteous people doing righteous things or unrighteous people doing righteous things nonetheless. This story has it's a beautiful, beautiful little story of sort of loyalty and affection, and love and righteousness and like duty sort of accepted, duty accepted, you know, willingly and, you know, without, you know, and look how much it contrasts with all the other things that are happening, right? So like on the national stage at that point in Israel, you know, you've got Samson, right, who wants to resist his obligation. You got people who are selfish and want to use their role just for their own benefit, and that kind of thing. But not this little like beautiful story. Anyway, let us be Ruth's, you know, let us be Boaz's, even while things are crazy. Let's act like disciples of Jesus. And even when things are real bad off, let us remember, that, you know, God can do more than we can ask or imagine. And the end of this story, the human story, you know, has a happy ending. It has complete fulfillment and righteousness. Anyway, I got to roll. Let us pray. O God, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. No matter what, never give up. All right, talk to you tomorrow.